Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good job trying to, I know it's a song we haven't sung much, so good job with that. We'll say that you did. The words are really good. I know we're not that used to the tune yet. It's okay. It had some good words. Luther himself wrote those. So, today our text, the words that we're going to talk about today, though, are from our text in Mark chapter 1 that began with John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And then it ended with these words with a voice from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." A contrast between the muddy Jordan and the voice from heaven. And we talk about what's given from heaven. That forgiveness, for forgiveness. And we'll just emphasize that contrast, dear friends. We're going to start by talking a little bit about weddings, the contrast between what seems holy and perfect and the dirt of our sin. I'm sure you've all heard some wedding stories, and I'll ask you, though, what would you rather hear about? Would you rather hear about how proud the bride was of the place settings that she made? That she and her family made for each of the people, that she designed her own dress and everyone thought it was so wonderful, how gorgeous it was, that she picked just the right shade and she was afraid the florist didn't quite match that shade that she had in mind. Is that what you want to hear? Or would you rather hear that she was so nervous at the wedding until she got to the end of the aisle and she looked forward and she saw the smile on her groom's face. And from that point, she knew that he'd chosen her. And she could be calm again. Or since we have, since proposals have become more of a production than they used to be, would you rather hear about how the prospective groom had dozens of roses waiting? How he arranged for the band to be playing their song. How he made sure that it could be videotaped. How much work he put into it. Or would you rather hear that he was nervous up till she said yes? What do you want to hear? Which one do you think really tells the story of what begins a happy marriage better? Today is the baptism of our Lord, the day we celebrate it. And we often emphasize the beloved Son in this story and that we are joined to Him. And we are also beloved because we are joined to Him. And that is true, and it's good that we point that out, particularly today. But today in the sermon, we're going to look not just at the fact that we've become beloved in Christ, but perhaps at the whole match. We'll look at forgiveness, the forgiveness that God brings. See, the story of Jesus' baptism is not much about a clever match that shows off the good taste of the bride or the groom. It is a love story for his people that leads us to fear and awe. It's because Christ does come for his bride. That's actually, they don't use a lot of wedding stuff here, but that's what other words in Scripture will find, that Christ does come for his bride, his Israel, his church, his chosen one. But the emphasis is not on his good taste in choosing her, and certainly not on his chosen one's good taste in choosing him. In the text, the people came in repentance. The people came for forgiveness. It's not a story about a bride who picked a dress that everyone would envy, whose color scheme was clever, whose theme would be remembered for the ages. All the people in the country of Judea and in Jerusalem were coming out to be baptized by John. Not because they were such great pickers that they could say, "Boy, we're picking well in coming here," but because they were filthy. They were filthy in their sins. They recognized that they were sinners. And they couldn't get clean and they couldn't get to God. They were a people dominated by foreigners with foreign gods. Even their temple was being built by Roman picked kings. In John's baptism, it wasn't just a ceremonial, I'm sorry, with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, that there was really nothing to be sorry for, that you just have to say the words. Here's the truth. Only proselytes, only those who'd been converted to Judaism, essentially only foreigners, had routinely been baptized. In that sense, all the people coming to be baptized by John were admitting that they were alienated from God. They were condemned as unbelieving foreigners. That the people who had been called to be by God to be his people since the time of Abraham stand condemned before him as unbelieving foreigners who are filthy, who are unclean, who need to be washed. They needed the baptism of forgiveness, of repentance for forgiveness. And even with that, you might think that John gave them little hope. The one they came to wanting to be baptized by, the one they came to wanting to be made clean, told them, "Don't look to me. After me comes one who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John told the people that they needed more than what John could give them. That the people were not a beautiful people, they were a desperate people. That the forgiveness that God offers, even the one in John, and the one he offers us, it's not just an adornment, something to make things look a little prettier. It's life itself. And that life needs more than the people's actions. It needs more than John's actions. That forgiveness comes only with God's action. But praise God, God does act. Jesus comes from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. The one who was without sin. The one who is from heaven. The one who is God himself, the Son made flesh, shares the bathwater with the dirty people. He lets their dirt, he lets their stink stick to him as well. He who sits on the throne gets into the muddy Jordan. And he says he's not rising again without those whose dirt he shares. How much we fear to get close to those who aren't well or dirty, particularly now as we're worried that we might get sick. How much we say we don't want to embrace someone who might make us dirty. And yet Christ, the very God of heaven, comes down and embraces his dirty people. And he will make them clean. Even with his Holy Spirit, when he's completed his course, when he's gone his way, he embraces them, even their sin, here. And he carries their dirt to the cross and to the tomb to leave it there when he rises, that all people may be clean. This is no small thing, but this is the forgiveness that God gives. And it begins here at the baptism, where Christ takes our dirt. And God says, this forgiveness that is given is His forgiveness. The Father says with pride as His Son embraces the world in the baptism, He says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. The Father is proud of His Son in the muck. The Spirit descends like a dove. The whole Trinity says, this is the work of God. God shows His glory, not with beams from heaven, from on high, but in the muddy waters of the Jordan. The Spirit descends. The Trinity adds an amen. This is the holy work of God. This is who God is. This is the I am. Embracing us in our filth. And Jesus carries the muck of those He's joined to. He leaves that muck in the grave. And He tells us too, all of us who are baptized with Him, all who share His name, who's been joined to and given His name to, which happens at baptism, and it happens just as much at a wedding, just where it comes together, that they also rise clean. And He tells, as He is the Son, we His bride, we share His name. In Him and in Him alone. There is one beloved Son, it is Jesus, but we are joined to Him because we are His bride. And so we are also called the beloved Son because we are joined to Him. In a marriage, you share each other's dirt and you share each other's joy. Christ came to share our dirt, that we may share His joy. What are we to do then? Remember your baptism. Let's do that first. Remember our baptism, that we are also baptized. We've been baptized till the waters were black with our filth. I know some people, even people in my own family, who don't like to go in the rivers. They don't like rivers or ponds or lakes because they say the water, they're not sure how clean the water is. And they're afraid they'll get dirty. That's not the image. I'm glad that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan and the people went there because it doesn't let us think, oh, it needed to be pristine water to make Him clean. The truth is, our filth is great. Any water makes us clean compared to what we are of ourselves. But God Himself took our sin on in His Son. And He returned it, that dirt to the earth in the tomb. Today, let us see with fear and awe what God has done. How great is the mercy, how far we had fallen, and how much God has raised us up. And as we have been raised up, as we have been given in baptism the name of our God, as His righteousness has become our righteousness, as we've been joined to our groom as a bride, we remember that God's cleansing of us is a complete cleansing. That in Christ we need not fear embracing others. Embracing even those who are trying to cover up the muck with the best lace or rags they can find. with whatever perfumes they can find to cover the stink, and yet it is never enough. They need to get clean for the only one who can make them clean. And because we have been made clean, because we share Christ's name, we also can embrace them and take them to the waters that have made us clean. Lead them to the Son that they too may be joined to Him. Lead them to the waters that they too may be baptized for forgiveness. That is the work of God, not to sit on high on a throne and judge, but to embrace sinners and lift them up. That is the work He's given our church. Our God has taken us, who are in sin, who were aliens and foreigners, and brought us closer than into the nation of God. He's brought us into the family of God. He has made us His children and made us the bride of His Son. Let us rejoice in our God and His Son, for He is our life and our salvation. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.